This is Chandra Hoffman.
I have a statement to read on behalf of Frank Lefevre, and then I have my own statement.
Ah, okay.
So I just want to make sure that that's okay. Okay.
She has two and two.
Yeah, two and two. This is from Frank Lefevre from BAI. I am Frank Lefevre, a BAI listener and member of its finance committee, who came very late to Pacifica governance problems. Most of what I know I've learned by working in several LSB committees during the past year. I've learned of problems at other stations. One thing has become very clear to me. Whatever hope there is for solving local problems depends on what happens at the top. Disorder at BAI persists because it persists at the highest levels. National Pacifica management has actively maintained a lack of transparency, orderly process, and accountability at BAI because it is passively maintained by those directors of the Pacifica National Board who permit their employees to reject or ignore their directives. In the past year, I have seen inertia, cronyism, and degeneration of process in every area I had hoped to contribute in LSB committee work. Outreach and membership, programming, review of management and finances. Expenditures continue to increase while member support falters. We are in a financial and moral crisis. I want to know answers to simple questions. How is it possible that unknown members of consultants can be reclassified as employees and that their names hidden as soon as they, as we ask what they got paid for? How is it possible that a special radiothon for funds to replace equipment can lose more money than it earns? How can delivery costs for donated food account for most of $11,000 in expenditures for just the WBAI Spring Fund Drive alone? These and many other questions could be readily answered by a local management sincerely interested in bringing budgets in line with resources, but just asking them formally in committee was obstructed, while permission to ask was sought from the same Pacifica management that blocks directors' inspection of records. When I tell people that an executive director and a chief financial officer can tell directors what records they can and cannot see and are not disciplined or dismissed, it blows their minds. For the sake of everything we value in Pacifica, I implore each director of the Pacifica National Board
time
to take hold of their reins now.
Statement.
Okay, that's it.
Now your statement.
It's not. Hello? Okay. My name is Chandra Hoffman. I'm a member of the KPFA Local Station Board. I'm introducing a resolution to Pacifica National Board on behalf of myself and members of the KPFA disability community. Over the years, disabled Pacifica listeners and staff have encountered and still encounter lack of equal access to Pacifica National Board meeting and events sponsored by the Pacifica National Board. Lack of equal access also continues to occur at the five Pacifica stations, as well as at many events sponsored by these five stations. Equal access is not only fair, but just. It is also the law, according to the Americans with Disabilities Act. Therefore, the following resolution is being proposed to the Pacifica National Board. By no later than September 1st, 2005, facilities and program audits be conducted at all five Pacifica stations, the Pacifica National Office, and the Pacifica Archives to determine whether or not these facilities are in compliance with the ADA, and that's California, as well as California Title 24 regulations, the UNRU Act, and any other applicable California nonprofit corporation laws and regulations, because Pacifica is incorporated in the state of California. That these audits be performed by a person familiar with all ADA and relevant California state law regulations, that immediate fundraising be undertaken if the money is not available to conduct these audits and to implement their recommendations, that all future meetings of the Pacifica National Board and the local station boards be accessible to all listeners and staff who wish to attend, that a teleconferencing system be provided that will allow listeners and staff to have equal access to participate in the public comment portions of these meetings. That no future PNB or LSB meetings be allowed to occur that do not comply with the above provisions, and that no events be sponsored by the PNB, the five Pacifica stations, or the Pacifica Archives
time.
That do not comply with the above provisions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Copy. It's a copy for the secretary.
Thank you.
Dean Tuckerman, Ted Friedman.
Hi. It seems like Pacifica is always in constant crisis. There's always a crisis. There's an early crisis. There's a crisis a couple years ago that we allegedly solved. Now there's new crises. There's violence. There's all kinds of things. Why can't you get your act together, folks? It's really weird that this is not happening. When the period of the world needs what Pacifica can offer, you're not doing it. It's very simple. The period of the world, I mean, there's a war that nobody, that over 50% of the country doesn't want, and you're not doing it. I mean, you have some of the new staff around the country, say, almost mimicking the corporate news. You have all kinds of things like that happening. And instead, you seem to be getting into a rut of trying to, and most of the stations seem to be getting in a rut of trying to preserve their own real estate. Now, the real estate is very important, meaning the real estate of where the stations are at on the dial and all that. It's very important. And we have to use it in a way that shows its importance. And that's just that. I mean, you know, I can't give anything specific at the moment, other than, because I only have 10 seconds. But
quickly.
But I think it needs to be, I think you need to really get your act together and figure out how we can help people solve the problems of this period where the world is falling apart.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ted Friedman, Aaron Ahrens.
Yeah, I.
Ted Friedman.
Ted was first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Ted Friedman from the KPFA local station board. I'm sorry. Is it working?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. There have been serious questions about the finances of the foundation and the stations. Staff and management has been preventing directors from inspecting the books. Directors have a direct and personal responsibility for the foundation finances and can be sued for irregularities. However, the directors have the right to inspect the books, both according to the bylaws and state corporate statutes. The PNB has voted to allow them to do so. Nevertheless, this has not happened. The staff and management has been preventing them. Therefore, I urge that directors Patty Heffley and Laverne Williams be granted immediate access to all financial records at Pacifica and the stations.
Thank you. Aaron Ahrens and Gerald Saunders.
Yeah, I've been concerned about the political direction of the station for many, many years, and took part in the fight even before the a more obvious part of the corporate takeover in the late 90s. I was involved in supporting the struggle to prevent the rightward move and to help get more left-wing radical viewpoints on the air. And even though we stopped those corporate raiders, the most blatant ones, we still have the problem of people who are both for the sake of preserving their own jobs and for whatever other reasons we may not know about are still fighting to keep the station and pull the station to the right, more to the, quote, mainstream, unquote, more towards the Democratic Party, basically. And I strongly believe that there's a need and an absolute need on the Pacifica Network for more diverse, radical, and leftist, and anarchist, socialist, whatever, all these different kinds of radical viewpoints. I'm not saying we should exclude the liberals, the ones I think the resource should be shared among between liberal leftists, radical leftists, and whatever else fits in that general broad area. And I also feel, by the way, that this question of money is related to that, because I think people who might have financial manipulations going on would probably be the ones who don't want to do anything too radical that might attract attention and might get government agencies looking too closely at them. So they try to cover their asses, so to speak, by being not too radical, not too militant, not too critical. Anyway, thank you.
Gerald Saunders, Stan Woods.
Yes, people have
spoken.
Please don't
use language that will give us some problems. No. You know what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
We're not broadcasting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I heard the word crisis before, and let's hone in on that, because we're not talking about a tsunami or earthquake. We're talking about a crisis in leadership. Right now, KPFA, $300,000, deficit. We ain't even finished the year yet, okay? And we have a 1.5 approximately interdivisional loan that is currently being held by the Pacifica Foundation owed to KPFA, and the foundation has no way of generating those funds. Hello. How are you guys doing today? We have a crisis in leadership. Now we have a chance to get an executive director, the single most important official in the Pacific administration, as stated by our bylaws. We have had numerous difficulties, as we see, with the existing executive director that, preceded what we have now, and therefore, it seems we have to think now. We do not want to set up a situation where we have some musical chairs. We have one over here, we put them back over yonder. We put one over here, and we make them the GM in New York. We take the one. No, let's think about a clean break. Let's think about a fresh beginning for Pacifica to end the cronyism and the musical chairs with these jobs. We want public job announcements. Let's recruit someone from outside of Pacifica that's actually been a manager and has some experience in that regard. And someone that might be dedicated to the mission, a strong advocate for financial and political transparency with a proven record of respect for the democratic process and interaction with the public, something that we very sorely need around here. I also think, most importantly, the executive director, we can find out there are people out there that have a record. Excuse me? Yes, I'll finish my sentence if it's okay. There are people out here who actually exist in the United States that actually have a record of supporting our mission and things like that. Let's choose one of those people from outside of our midst and have a new beginning around here. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerald. Stan Woods and then Jeff Blanchett.
Right. Stan Woods, former member of the local advisory board at KPFA and currently elected community rep on the KPFA Program Council. I just want to talk a little bit about this, I think, increasing trend of confidentiality of executive sessions. It's become a real problem with KPFA on the station board. I think it's becoming quite a problem. I know it's a problem with some of the other stations, and I think it's a problem with the national board. There's a problem. One of the many things wrong with confidentiality is it never works. It always comes out. And it always comes, and when it does come out by leaking, it comes out often in a distorted way. Mm-hmm. And it's understandable, not only human, but organizational characteristic to try to cover up dirty laundry. But once again, like I say, it comes out. We've had 5 articles about the situation at KPFA and secondarily Pacifica in the last 3 weeks. There's 3 more coming up. There's a national progressive publication, I understand, is doing a major piece on the situation within Pacifica. I think it's a hell of a lot better to be upfront about our controversies, our disputes, warts and all, because people respect that. And our listeners are a pretty sophisticated bunch. I ran across a couple of trade union activists I know, a married couple recently, and they give collectively about $2,000 a year to KPFA. And they were furious they had to read about the lawsuit in the San Francisco Chronicle. They feel that they should have known it. It's been brewing for 2 years. They would have much rather had a forthright statement from KPFA about what's going on, given both sides of the controversy, than read about it in a paper that's not friendly to alternative media. So when you go into executive session, and you seem to be going to have a hell of a lot of this conference, national board meetings going to be devoted to executive sessions, I think you should think about the consequences of that. It really smacks of the way the corporate media runs their business, and that shouldn't be the way we conduct ours. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff?
My name is Jeff Blankford, and I was a co-founder of Save KPFA in 1993 and Take Back KPFA in 1995 when I saw the Pacifica board moving in an NPR-like direction. And in 95 when Pat Scott, yes, Ambrose, you were there back there.
Oh, yes.
Pat Scott tried to professionalize KPFA by getting rid of the volunteers, by the unpaid staff. And what's happened, her legacy lives on because where once, at least KPFA, and I don't know about the other stations, was a station of volunteers. Many activists and collectives would do their political work, and they'd be on the air maybe once a month in a collective, but they weren't getting paid by KPFA. Now what's happened, we had the previous general manager, Jim Bennett, put 97 hires on. KPFA is having a fundraiser every time you turn around. But the Pacifica National Office has hired many more people than it ever had or needed. So what we have is no longer a volunteer radio station. We have people with a vested interest in their jobs, and they talk about relations to the means of production. When you're a volunteer for a station like Pacifica, you want that mission to succeed. When you're getting a paycheck, now you're thinking of your own self before the mission. And I think we have to go back to be an activist radio station, primarily with volunteers and less with people on the payroll who are now trying to hold on as some kind of security and see their own interest maybe moving on to NPR as many Pacifica people have in the past. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Jeff. Werner Hertz. Barbara Dosh.
I participated in the same actions that Jeff previously talked about. I would like to summarize the 56-year-old mission statement encouraging the humanistic and historical task of the oppressed to become more fully human. We're in a situation today where we need to go beyond that. We are all oppressed by this system. We need to go for liberation. If we only protest, vote, and have elections which does not add up to democracy under our Constitution, we are in effect colluding with the status quo by not working to overturn them and to educate the American people on how to do that. And one way to approach that is to challenge the U.S. Constitution, which is a chain around our democracy because of the privilege of wealth which shortcuts any elections, or most elections, except maybe some very local ones. If we don't challenge that the way the people of Venezuela did in 1992 and wrote a new constitution which empowered them, our constitution disempowers all of us. And it was meant to do that by the 40 wealthy folks who had complete contempt for we the people and used violence and deceit in order to further their domination. And they've been usually successful. And if we don't understand that, we are destined to continue on the path, the crisis path we're on now.
Thank you. Barbara Dosh, Richard Phelps. Okay. Richard,
Thank you very much, Barbara, and thank you very much, members of the board, for listening to me. My name is Bob Fass. I have been on the air at WBAI since a very short time after this now $300 million property, 99.5 on the FM band, was donated, given to the Pacifica Foundation by Lou Schweitzer, with an understanding that something like what was going on at the Pacifica of Lou Hill would take place at WBAI. I have endured, along with everyone else who was involved with Pacifica, what we call the Christmas coup at WBAI, in which time people were fired without process, and there was a complete opacity where we yearned for transparency. I was sitting here before with the light shining in our eyes, and I was thinking, we're squinting with the too much light coming through the window. And here in Pacifica, we're dying for a breath of sunshine. We need sunshine. We need fewer executive sessions and more listener comments and more responses to listener comments. This radio station is, and these radio stations, I should say, because I also worked at KPFA in my time, and I worked at KPFT in my time. I was sent there when it first became a Pacifica station to try to help them to understand what the Pacifica mission was. At one point, without blowing my own horn, at one time I was on five nights a week from midnight until dawn, and I had the highest rating in FM. And if you go to Google, you'll see that there are hundreds and hundreds of listings of programs that I have done that are listed and are on other people's websites. What is happening now at WBAI shames and disgusts me. Very occasionally I go to meetings of the board, of various committees. And at the very last one, I saw manipulation of Robert's rules, manipulation of the agenda to prevent an honest inquiry about what was going on in the books of Pacifica. Now, I don't understand why this is necessary. Maybe somebody could whisper in my ear and tell me why we need to keep certain things secret. Why we need to have someone suspended without pay. Someone who gets a pitiful Pacifica salary, who is suspended without pay, is practically doomed to starvation. And this is the kind of thing that's practiced at WBAI. People are fired without process. Now, we fought. We went out in the street. We marched up and down. We came to the station when the air was positively toxic after 9-1-1 without being able to... We carried materials in and out of... My time was yielded. I have a number of...
Time. Yeah, this is your time for 4 minutes.
Yeah, but I have...
Who's yielding? What's your name? Okay, gotcha. Who else?
Joe Gonzalez.
Joe?
Joseph Gonzalez.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Go right ahead.
I'm not going to need all this time. see, am I... well... You know, it's more time that I'm not paid for.
Go ahead, Bob.
In 1977, after being at the top of the ratings of FM, I was removed from the air because a program director came in who said that he was going to convert the station to 24 hours a day salsa and distributed leaflets to that effect on the subway. And I was thought of as one of the organizers of the union, not true, against this operation. The program director, Pablo Guzman, eventually joined our union, despite having said, democracy is a bourgeois idea. Now, maybe some people still think that, because at the end of that meeting, where the attempt to find what was going on inside, behind the closed doors of Pacifica, was going on, when that happened, someone said to me afterwards, I didn't vote because I don't go to enough meetings to vote. You need to go to 3 meetings in order to vote in succession. So I didn't vote. But someone who voted against the transparency said the reason that I did that was because I don't believe in democracy and I don't think it will work, especially at a radio station. Now, when Bernard White and 20 other people or so were fired from WBAI peremptorily, we fought because we believed there had been no process. We didn't necessarily support the people who were fired individually or collectively, but we believed that there ought to be a process. Now, when the process is thought of as a pain in the ass, excuse me, but I'm not going to conform to what I think is America's dirty word problem. I think that free speech implies a great deal of freedom in speech, and that the kind of speech that people use in the world ought to be on the radio. I hear other radio stations like Air America, for instance, saying things that people are cautioned against on Pacifica stations. So I think there's much more control than ought to be exerted. Other entities get away with many more things today. Pacifica has become not necessarily conservative, but super cautious. And I don't think that that's the way we ought to be. They're certainly not cautious in regard to dealing with the rights of their employees. I agree that we should, if this is not an insulting way to express it, Pacifica should hire the handicapped. But I don't think it should handicap the hired. Another thing that I'd like to say, before my time is up, if I still have any more time ceded to me, is that I'm 73 years old. I've been at Pacifica for 43 years. My listeners, God bless them, they don't think that I'm old, but they think that identity politics is real old. And we have to abandon our insistence on recognizing people's victimhood as a reason for getting on the air and for supplanting people who are professional at this, excuse for a profession that I find myself in. There's much more I would like to say to each of you individually if you wanted to talk to me, but I've had a lot of trouble talking to people. I've had trouble getting calls returned for years and years, and there is no way for staff, aside from the phony staff union at WBAI, which is such an insult to unionhood, such a company union, that the grievances that were filed 8 years ago haven't been acted on. Now, what's going on here? Are we being, as leaflets are being passed out in New York City now, are we so thoroughly infiltrated by what they called FBI moles that we're no longer Pacifica? Is that what's going on? I mean, I think there ought to be some answers to some of these questions and not just shuffling off to the next of our listener comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you and all those who conceded their time. So Yadi, Max Blanchet. So Yadi? Oh, okay. Phelps. I thought I'd get you.
So that Mark won't complain about this later, I want to start off by saying that I am honored by the fact that I've been asked to represent some of the people on your board to deal with their inspectors' rights. And I want to tell you that, and some of you may know this, you probably do, but I want to remind you of a vote you did on April 25th. The vote came down 12-3-2. And I think I could go through this whole room and tell everybody how they voted and who wasn't there, because I was listening very carefully. And the vote was basically to tell your executive director to get out of the director's way and let him inspect. Well, LaVarne Williams went to the national office on June 8th. I went with her as Patty Heffley's assigned agent, as is allowed by California law and the bylaws. We politely knocked on the door at about 1:45. We went inside. And then down came Mr. Coughlin, and he physically got in my way, said, "You can't come in any farther." I said, "Excuse me, I thought you resigned on June 1st. And he wouldn't get out of the way. So I had a choice. I could have a physical confrontation with him, or we could leave. We left, because we're peaceful people. But I want you all to know something. This is not going to happen anymore, okay? I'm dressed like this to let you know something. I am an attorney. I know where Alameda County Courthouse is. And if you guys don't straighten up, the next time you dress like this, it'll be when I'm taking your deposition."
Sevilla, Sayadi, and Max Blanchet. Go ahead, Max.
My name is Max Blanchet. I'm an LSB member, listener member from Berkeley. And I'd like to talk to you about transparency. There is too much fog at Pacifica. We need to clear the fog. And it's...
I'm sorry.
Well, please,
yeah.
You interrupted me. Please go ahead.
No, sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. Keep going.
She's...
That's
okay. Go, Max, go ahead. She says go ahead.
Yes, there is too much fog at Pacifica. There's been some progress in recent years, but we need to do much more. We need to do much more. And when I talk about transparency, I mean timely reports, accurate reports, official reports, comprehensive reports, regular reports on finances, headcount, the various functions at the various stations, the responsibilities of people, diversity. On diversity, I have been putting out the reports for Pacifica. This is shameful. That's not my job. That's the job of the organization. You should be doing that. And I'll say furthermore that I'll give you a simple example. At KPFA, we found out recently that there was a serious inflation in headcount. In this fiscal year alone, we've gone from a budgeted figure of 37 FTEs to 42 by the end of the year. In 3 years, we've gone from 28 to 42. This has happened because we did not know. The LSB did not know. And we cannot perform our responsibilities under such conditions. So we need reports, timely reports, official reports, comprehensive reports, accurate reports from the management, from staff. This is the only way we're going to clear the fog. And let me say, to conclude, that unless we do that, we will continue to have mistrust in this place. This is at the root of it. And unless we do that, we will never dispel the bad information, the speculation, the misinformation, the speculation, the rumors that we deal with all the time, and all the angers that go with it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Sureya Sayadi. I'm from the cancelled program of Voices of Middle East and North Africa, and I'm newly elected APSO. And I just want, like everybody been talking about, my main concern has been the transparency, which the violence, I think the violence is very correlated to transparency, because violence is, I've been here 2 years at KPFA, and I see it going downward. The word crisis is like, is really not appropriate. It's over, beyond crisis, what's happening at KPFA. I feel like they allow violence to intimidate people from every level. They want volunteers to run away because they want paid staff to be there, because they're going to listen to the upper management and everybody else, and they're going to kiss up and do all those kind of things. That's why they don't want volunteers. And when they pick, I'm very for the word diversity, but sounding like just a cliche. They pick people based on their color, their race, and being Middle Eastern. If I talk only midway, the way they like it, they will have us. It needs to be a free speech for the community. It needs to be a free speech. You cannot make our color into politics. I don't want to be elected because I'm a female for a women's show. If I am nasty, using abusive language toward another woman, it doesn't make sense. And we have lots of this going on. We've been giving. I am very concerned that we don't pay attention when there's a small violence. People have grievances, and it goes to lawsuit, and we're going to get bankrupt. And this is really a disgrace to the community. They're putting their money for getting the information, and we are not giving it to them. We need to have all this taken care of. Thank you.
Thank you. Reva Entine.
Hi, I'm Reva Entine, community rep to the KPFA local station board, former chair. So not to be redundant, but I think I'm going to add my voice to what's becoming the theme of this meeting, which is the need for transparency. Lest we forget, a major part of our victory was the transparency necessary for democracy. It appears that this democratically elected board is excluding the public from a lot of your discussion. Executive session and transparency are diametrically opposed. I believe there's a continued abuse of executive session in this organization. For example, did anybody raise the question? I have the question. Many of the public have the question about why the demand for financial records is now put in executive session. I would like that known. Under Roberts, decisions of executive sessions are to be made public. If issues are urgent enough to take up so much time in your quarterly national meeting, then it must be urgent for the public to know what's being discussed. Listeners will hold this board accountable because we have a right to know, and it is absolutely outrageous that no minutes of your term have been produced. Moving to content a little bit, because that's what we're about. I want to add my voice also to what Bob Foss said. I like that he said that Pacifica is cautious, overly cautious. You know, Air America, we keep talking about Air America. Somebody here in the audience said that Air America has more outrage. What Pacifica needs is more outrage. And in the wake of the Downing Street memo being public, that, and in the front page, it is time for us to be less cautious and show more outrage.
You need to come to Washington. Beverly Dozer and Maria Gillardin.
My name is Beverly Dove, and I believe that this station is a station that wants to be reflective of the entire planet, of the people on the planet, not just talking to the people, but having both listener call-in and shows that reflect people all over this planet and in community, expressing both the needs of the community and the solutions that people have to address these needs. And when there is ever a board or a committee or a council, it seems to me that they get away from the people and that they form a group unto themselves that do not represent the true needs, the true wishes, and the true feeling and expression of the people that they are supposed to be representing. It is the responsibility of people who are elected or who serve the people to represent them in an honest and open manner. This is not any different from the rest of society. When we present the news and mimic something that comes through the wires that is from the mainstream, we reinforce the propagandized viewpoint of the mainstream. We do not want to reinforce the mainstream's method of representation that is oppressive to the people and steals from the people and hides from the people. We want a board to represent us and reflect the integrity that we want to represent and include all people and not have a resonance of tiny echoes in the corner, but speak out with truth, fairness, and dignity. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was asked to read a letter from Pat Logan. May I do that as well?
Yes.
Oh, maybe I don't need it, but thank you. Okay, Pat Logan, WBAI listener. This is the letter by Pat Logan. I have listened to WBAI since 1966. Most often I did not have the means to contribute financially. During some periods, mid to late 60s, mid 70s, while feminist programming thrived, mid 90s, I listened enthusiastically for hours each day. At other times, only a few programs captivated my attention. Sometimes, and sadly, this is one such period, I listened most often to keep track of what's wrong and what needs to be changed, rather than because I was being intellectually stimulated and entertained. This period of uninspiring programming, which bores people or turns them off, has lasted far too long. It is difficult to keep supporting the Pacifica mission in the abstract when it is not reflected in the on-air offerings. The fact that fundraising efforts are failing ever more seriously demonstrates that thousands of listeners are abandoning hope of hearing what they need and want to hear on WBAI. For me, the loss of Robert Knight's insightful, inspiring voice is almost the last straw. Soon I, too, will be gone. I urge, I implore, in fact, I demand that the primary cause of this decline in listenership and adherence to mission, Program Director Bernard White, be terminated within a week so that needed restorations and improvements may begin to be implemented immediately. Otherwise, WBAI will fade into oblivion, dragging the rest of Pacifica down as it slowly dies. Thank you. Now, myself. My name is Mariah Gillarden. I'm former development director at KPFA. And this is sort of an anniversary for me. I'm one of the people who fought for financial transparency at the foundation. And I was, in fact, banned in 1993 for asking for disclosure of financial information. What worried me most at that time was the national office going over a budget of $1 million a year. Today it seems that the national budget, national office has arrived at that point. At the same time as the national office spends an unprecedented amount of money again, like under Pat Scott, Dan Coughlin prevents an inspection and pays our money, I'm a listener too, spends our money for a lawyer's opinion who claims that the absolute right
of directors to inspect the books is not absolutely absolute, which should get the Rumsfeldian Lingo Award of the Year. Following the money, what's happening? Why are they so secretive? $1 million in expenses, that's 20% levies from the station, up from 6% when I was development director. Among the money spent at National is $1.5 million owed to KPFA, accumulated over a period of time. Will KPFA ever see that money come back? There are 13 full-time staff people at the National office. What are they doing? Five of them deal with finances. Nevertheless, none of them has time to point to the filing cabinet and allow the inspection. When in the history of Pacifica, the National office had a staff, 1.5 person on staff. So what are the other 8 doing? The ones who are counting the money and can't account for it? We don't know. I mean, at least under Pat Scott, when the budget went up to $1 million, Pacifica ran Democracy Now. Pacifica produced a half-hour daily program. Pacifica ran a number of serial shows like...
Time.
Okay, thank you.
Who?
Heidi Chesney. Thank you, Heidi. Pacifica ran daily shows like Julianne Malveaux, like Jerry Brown, whatever you may think about these shows. It's something that was produced at National. What's produced at National now? Democracy Now! Has been farmed out and privatized, as many people still don't know, because there's this pretense on the Pacifica website that it's a Pacifica program. There's no more PNN, thank God, I would say. It was pretty awful. But Free Speech Radio News is a wonderful program that came out of the resistance to the hijackers. And now they claim credit for it, not pay it sufficiently, and have nothing to do with the production. The production is done elsewhere. The special events that the Pacifica National Office seems to organize from time to time apparently get billed back to the stations. So it's not National that's paying to make these monstrous specials, like sending somebody to the inauguration, which we could have just as well gotten from NPR, because and sending like an 8-person staff to events that used to be done by Larry Bensky and one engineer. I mean, Larry Bensky got his award for the Iran-Contra when he alone was in Washington with one engineer. So it's, you know, it's possible to do something really good with just a couple of people. So I'm very worried about the expenses at the National office. I wish everybody luck who was in there, and I hope everybody gets these wonderful T-shirts, because it seems not everybody knows what the director's rights are here. And they come with a spine, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Steve, and then Bob English.
Steve.
Yep.
Steve.
Zelter. What?
Yeah, my name is Steve Zelter. I'm a labor programmer at KPFA, and I helped start the Middle East Radio Project. I find the situation here rather astonishing. The working class, the labor movement, is under a vicious attack in this country. There's an onslaught against millions of working people. There's a need for national working class programming to reach out to working people in this country. Where is KPFA? Where is Pacifica? Why aren't there any national programmings on health care, on the attack on pensions, on the attack on disabled workers? Where is Pacifica? Instead, what we find here today is that members of the board can't even see the books at Pacifica. Is this a private corporation?
Is this a private corporation where people can't look at the books? Is that what it is? If that's what you stand for, we're going to get you out. We're going to get you out. The people at Pacifica, the subscribers and supporters, have a right to see the books. And frankly, I think people have been too nice with some of this crap that's going on. If somebody doesn't do their job and doesn't correct the violence in the station, they're out. We don't pay people to allow assaults and physical threats on people. Is this the Pacifica motto? You can get away with physically assaulting people and threatening people. It's okay at Pacifica, but we're going to attack the Bush administration. We're going to say we're for peace. When you allow this at Pacifica, when you allow this at KPFA and other stations, you are giving the boot to the people who fought for Pacifica, who fought to defend community radio, and that's what we have to bring the station back to and this network back to. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bob English and Nicole Milner.
Bob English. Yeah, I second everything that Steve said, but I'll start out nice. It's nice to see the Pacifica National Board here, an elected Democratic board, and with our LSBs, this is part of what we fought for all during the struggle. I will also ask to show these T-shirts. These will be available after the meeting. Please come and see whoever has them. But I, this is about the director's rights. This won't be a commercial announcement. But,
Mr. Chair, I could use that spot.
It implies that we should get some backbone here. Now, folks, but it's ironic that I find more and more that business at all levels of Pacifica seems to be done more and more business as usual in the old corporate regime style, including putting things on executive session like the inspector's rights issue. I find that incredible. And then moving the disability access to executive session, something's wrong here. It's also disturbing to me. These are nice facilities, but when I used to take donations from listeners during fund drives when they would call in, I don't think they thought that their money was going for meetings in corporate settings, and this is what we did during the old Pacifica regime, and we fought against that, and here we are again. And I should say that the elected board first came to Berkeley last year, I was real happy. You know, it was the first time an elected board came here. That was great. But you wouldn't know it was a big deal at KPFA. You know, just the formal road announcement as ever on the radio. Now, maybe they've improved it. I hope so. But there was it wasn't a celebrated noticed event. Nor at KPFA did we ever have a victory celebration for winning the struggle. No real thank you to the listeners. Furthermore, there was no truth and reconciliation process so that we could determine the nature and causes and the roles played during the old Pacifica coup regime. And we've really had very little progress in undoing the damages done by the old regime, and I guess I'll have more to say about that. Basically, little has changed at KPFA since the staff returned to the station in 1999, and all the characteristics of the old Pat Scott radio remain in place, prominently the strip programming, still no folio, of course.
Lisa Detner, Adrienne Lavey.
My name is Lisa Detmer. I'm going to be a graduate of the apprenticeship program, and I'm one of the producers on the new women's radio show on KPFA, which is a long time coming. And I'm a volunteer, which means that we work 20 hours a week for no money. I just want to address some of the things that have come up. I'm not really involved in a lot of the politics of the station, but I just want to make a couple of ideological points. I want to just say that those who shout the loudest are not necessarily the most representative of the so-called people. That, like when George Bush talks about fighting for democracy, That's not necessarily what the word means. And I've seen similar things going on at KPFA. People who claim to be fighting for democracy are some of the same people who act in underhanded manners, manipulative manners. This doesn't mean that I don't want to deny that there aren't real problems at KPFA or elsewhere in terms of grievances being addressed and how there isn't an open ability to critique what's going on at the station. I think that is a real problem. But I think part of that problem is not having a critique, because some of the people claim to speak in the name of democracy are just like the people they're critiquing. They're fighting for their vested interest, and they're not willing to be open to dialogue, and they attack people in underhanded ways. I don't want to speak about, you know, glorious terms like cronyism and generalities like that. I think that we need to talk about specifics. For instance, some people who are fighting for democracy on the air, KPFA, claim they want Democracy Now to be on twice a day. Well, that means there's five other shows that can't be on the air. But at the same, yes, it does. Well, in my opinion, in any case, I'm sorry, I didn't bring my minions. I'm sorry, you know. But I just wanted to say that in any case, I think that that's an issue that needs to be addressed. How do you solve that problem? If it can be solved.
Time.
So I just want to request that everybody look in the mirror before they make attacks on other people.
Thank you. Adrian Lobby, Mansoor, and Eduardo Cohen.
It's my great pleasure to give you some good news. And I wanted to I would start out by thanking you for coming and looking around here and saying that there must be something we're doing right to get all of you excellent people to come in here from all of your places and work on volunteer time.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. You're welcome. I work with FS Free Speech Radio News, and this week, Free Speech Radio News, the membership, we are a membership-run organization. We ratified an agreement that has come out of two fairly long and arduous negotiating processes at a memorandum of understanding wishing to come back into the Pacifica family legally. And I want to thank you for the years that we have been supported by Pacifica already. As many of you know, we went on strike against the old board. We received immediate financial support and, even more important, the physical support and connection with the community at that time. That includes all the affiliate stations. We couldn't do this without all of you at the stations, the reporters that you help us train, the facilities that you share with us, your general support when we come into buildings every day. It's very tough to do a news program. As you know, every 30-minute program that we do has approximately 20 to 30 individual people talking about something that happened in the last day or two. You have to find out who those people should be. You have to find them and get them on the air. Half of those people are from not from the United States on Free Speech Radio News. Many of those people come from your stations in terms of the reporters. You help us train them. We are really happy to give them some money back. I have some copies of the MOU. I know some of you will be delighted to spend your evening reading that. It's three pages. It's pretty clear English. We'll have more of them tomorrow if you're interested in reading it.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Mansoor. Ditto to most of the issues that have been raised here, and they were raised 3 months ago and 6 months ago last year, 2002, when everything got changed. So thanks for being here. I'm thinking of we have the issue of executive director, even though it's a crisis on hand, maybe we can turn it around and make it a positive activity for us, and And maybe we should get away from a single person decision making. Maybe we can get five people non-paid from each radio station to act as the executive director. Therefore, there will not be any cronyism. Therefore, the books might be open. Therefore, there might be five people who have different opinions, so we can listen to them. So maybe it's time that Pacifica practices non-military, non-hierarchical decision-making. Maybe it's time that we should really stop from a capitalist style of decision-making to maybe a different style of decision-making, and maybe we could set up an example that, you know, shakes up some trees, and maybe we get some Homeland Security come and knock on our doors. It's possible. It's possible to get five people to be in a rotational manner. Some of the cities do practice this. They get the council members to be the mayor of the city for 1 year, and they just get off and they go. And they come up rank and file, secretary, finance, so on, vice mayor, if there is such a position, a mayor. So maybe we can get five people, five stations, and maybe, God forbid, if we can get another radio station going on for ourselves. Time. If we solve our issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Eduardo Cohen, a former programmer at KPFA. I produced the Other Americas Radio Journal, which was canceled summarily in the great purge of progressives at 1995 at KPFA, in which Bill Mandel and many other really great programmers were summarily dismissed after years of effort. What I did on my show was to look at U.S. foreign policy and its role in the U.S. news media. Just one example of what I did. It took me weeks, but I arranged an interview at the beginning of the Persian Gulf War. I got Ricardo Alarcón, now the president of the Cuban National Assembly, then Cuba's ambassador to the UN, who was in the Security Council at this time, and I got him on the air at KPFA to break down in detail how the United States was sabotaging every single peace initiative being brought to the Security Council from inside. Now, I couldn't hear stuff like that anywhere else. That's the kind of stuff I got on my show, and that's the kind of stuff that a lot of other people were getting on their shows that were summarily dismissed. Now, I poured my heart and soul into that show, and the reason I'm saying this is because I'm seeing history repeated. I put my heart and soul in that show, and my reward for that was to get a letter, "Your show will be the last show on the air." That's how we were informed. There was a programmer's revolt to call for democratization at KPFA, and this was you couldn't get a stronger example of contempt for programmers. The paid staff, many of them turned their back. Some of the paid staff actively sabotaged the programmers' revolt, the campaign for democracy. The woman who presided over this debacle, Pat Scott, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, was promoted to a national position at Pacifica. This whole thing was planned by private consultants who we weren't able to get very much information about, the NPRization of KPFA. Now, 10 years later, I see that secrecy has become confidentiality. We can't get information now critical to democracy, just like we couldn't get it then, 10 years ago.
Time.
And without financial transparency, there is no democracy. And I want to take one more second, because I've seen Bob Foss here, and I want to say the first time I knew about this man was when BAI in New York was having food contributions brought to BAI to be trucked into Newark, New Jersey in 1968, I believe, or 67, when the police were shooting black people like bowling pins in Newark, and black parents couldn't feed their children, and Bob and others at BAI were having people bring food and were trucking it into Newark, which was not a safe thing to do. And I thought of that when I saw Bob, and I thought, how far we have come in the wrong direction. Could that even happen at a Pacifica station today?
1967. I want to thank all of those who participated in public participation. And who? She passed. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, board, you've heard the public. Let's get down to business.